What will it take to make GM's jewel, Cadillac, a true member of the world's luxury car club? Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes has been thinking about what's ahead as Cadillac moves its headquarters and 100 employees to New York City. Daniel, what's this move to SoHo supposed to be doing for Cadillac?
I think what it's hoping to fix is its understanding of the customers that they want. Not the customers that they have necessarily, the customers that they want. They have a real problem on the coasts from Boston down through New York into Washington, a real redoubt of money and influence in the country, and the same thing on the West Coast. So their feeling is if we go to New York and if we kind of immerse ourselves and our people in those, in that culture and in those people, we might have a better understanding of how to market the products to those customers. The irony is, of course, they'll still be built here in the Midwest, primarily in Michigan, and developed here by engineers and product developers who live and work in Michigan.
It sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that GM is kind of saying these Detroit roots aren't cool enough for the rich buyers who buy, I love, as you put it, the Teutonic triumvirate of BMW, Mercedes, or Audi. Very aptly put.
a couple of things here. I think that's right. The problem here is we've got an American brand that has had a lot of difficulty over the years, kind of lost its way in the decade of the early 2000s and the late 90s, got back on track, I think, in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years with some very solid product, and in a lot of cases is probably as good as what's coming out from the Germans. The problem is they don't have a product line that's as broad as those players, and I don't think they're regarded as being credible and being in the same league. And the other thing I would say is that the luxury club is a German club. It was founded by the Germans. The rules were drafted by the Germans, and the rules are enforced by the Germans. And they pretty much decide, and their buyers, whether or not you can be a member of that club. I would raise the question as to whether they will ever be able to break through and be regarded in the same breath as Mercedes, Audi, and BMW. That's not to say they don't have the technical capability. I think clearly General Motors has demonstrated that it does have enormous technical capability. They've got some products that are world-class, unparalleled. I mean, the Corvette and its permutations is in a class in a lot of ways by itself. Full-size pickups are another example. They have the capability. The question is whether they're going to be able to package it and break through to the kind of customer that they want to break through to. I think the other thought that they have is, and Mary Barra, the CEO, said this to us in a recent interview, is, you know, you drive around Metro Detroit, for example, and you see a lot of Cadillacs. You say, well, Cadillacs are not a problem. There's a lot of Cadillacs. Well, yeah, those are people that are buying vehicles based on employee discounts and leasing programs and things like that. You don't see that if you're driving around Summit, New Jersey, or Boston, or suburban Washington, necessarily.
What do you think the new Cadillac global brand chief, Yohann Dienishin, what do you see him bringing to the table in this push?
Well, he brings a lot of credibility. One of the things that's happened in the late Dan Akerson tenure and now in Mary Barra's tenure is they've gone out and hired people for key critical positions, in many cases outside the United States, but also in the Dienishin case for a global job that have the credibility of the German auto industry. He spent a lot of years at Audi. He was the head of Audi USA when it actually moved its headquarters from Auburn Hills to suburban Washington, D.C. He also was the global head of the Infiniti brand based in Hong Kong for the last several years. I think a lot of people think he's got real credibility. He knows what he's doing. He understands the industry. He understands what makes premium and luxury different from other manufacturers and how you need to approach those brands and how you need to market those brands. So no one is saying this guy's not up to it. In fact, in my column today, I talk about this is a 10-year process, at least. One of the things that General Motors with Cadillac and Ford, to some extent with Lincoln, have not been very successfully is keep people in the same jobs and have a long kind of process of seeing this through and seeing the strategy through as opposed to changing. A brand can't necessarily withstand a lot of corporate strategic rethinks and changes at the corporate level. You've got to stick with it, and that's one of the lessons of the Germans is that they've stuck with an iteration and iterated their product line and expanded it, but always improving it. And I think one of the things that we've seen with Cadillac and with Lincoln, to some extent, has been an inability of these companies to have that kind of focus. In part, I think it's because they're grounded more in the volume car business. That's where they grew up. That's where General Motors grew up, selling Chevrolets and other brands to all people in purses, as Albert Sloan used to say. And so did Ford. And it's really not part of their DNA, whereas you look at Mercedes, it's been a high-end premium manufacturers pretty much since its inception. Same thing for BMW, although more sporty, but it's clearly been part of their DNA.
An interesting look at the long rebuild ahead for Cadillac. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.